Hello and welcome to the African Mining Wrap, brought to you by McCloskey by Opus, a Dow Jones company. My name is Hlengiwe Motaung, and today we'll take a look at some port and rail developments in southern Africa, particularly in Namibia. Rich in veins of lithium, copper and uranium, Namibia is a nation quietly sculpting an important role in the global energy transition. But more so, Namibia has been an efficient catalyst in exporting coal from Botswana and some manganese from South Africa, and of course other minerals from the SADC region through the Walvis Bay Corridor. By the end of 2023, the Walvis Bay Corridor achieved record import and export volumes of over 2.4 million tons, a 50% increase compared to the previous year's 1.6 million tons. But to tell us more about the corridor, we are joined by the CEO, Mbahupu Hippy Chivikwa. Mbahupu, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Hlengiwe. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon in Namibia.
Awesome. I think I'm going to start with a two-part question here. How did the corridor manage to achieve this milestone in 2023? I mean, from 1.6 to 2.4 million tons. And what competitive advantage does the corridor possess within the SADC region?
So we came up with strategies to basically intensify our business development, also trade facilitation. So basically, our core business is twofold. One is business development, the other one is trade facilitation. So with business development is that we put up some targets on an annual basis as to what we want to achieve in terms of cargo that is being moved for every individual market. And secondly, with trade facilitation is that we address the non-tariff barriers issues. Now, non-tariff barriers issues, these are the impediments to trade that comes in, and they are also a cost in themselves if they're not addressed. So basically, we want to have the fastest turnaround times from peak to port when a truck is moving from the mine to the port or from the mine going to deliver cargo anyway. We have the shortest routes, not necessarily the shortest routes, the more efficient routes. And also partly, we also put up strategic plans in terms of our infrastructure. So looking at our road infrastructure for Namibia, they have been recorded for many consecutive years now as the best in Africa. So we did invest, and we do invest, but we also maintain and upgrade the current road infrastructure to make, because these are arteries of trade. And then we also looked at how can we make our port much more efficient. So we reclaimed land of 40 hectares with him from the ocean where we built a new container terminal. That new container terminal basically is also for us to increase in terms of the cargo volumes or the container traffic, either for Namibian own consumption or export, and also for the internet, as well as also for transshipment. So when we created also the new container terminal 5 years ago in the port of Walvis Bay, it opened up space where the old container terminal used to be, so we can handle them down out and paper cargo. From that aspect, we are also looking at the what you call the north port of it's a new area that we identified that we are busy developing north of the port of Walvis Bay, just a few kilometers, basically also to expand in terms of port capacity. I think our success lies in the fact that we are a public-private partnership. So we do take the public and the private sector together. do this initiative. So it's not done in isolation only by the private sector or by the public sector or the government. And it's also a matter of leadership as well. But we take very bold leadership to implement these projects.
What I want to touch on is, you know, since you've achieved the 2.4 million tons in 2023, what are the anticipated cargo volumes for 2024?
I mean, we're a bit very conservative. We don't want to put higher targets at this moment to create more efficiencies. I think the efficiencies can come with when we remove the non-tariff barriers. Because this can cost a lot of discomfort when people are doing business. We anticipate more volumes, I think, when we have got more interconnectivity. And at this moment is not fully utilized up to capacity. But we will have capacity. We do talk to the markets. We frequently visit the markets and the clients. So we do identify different, we try to identify different commodities.
I want to understand sort of what quantity of coal was trucked through the corridor in 2023. And we'll touch on rail in a moment. But so far, how's the coal exports from Botswana doing?
The coal throughput through Botswana was over 200,000 tons. That we have done. Basically, that was the first time that we have done it. At the moment, the corn prices have gone down, and the demand also has lowered. So, which significantly also changes the volumes. But we are looking at other commodities like in northern Botswana. There is basically a bigger project. There's in the Tswadilo area, in the Shakawe, just south of Tipundu in Namibia, near Mahimbo. The one of the biggest iron ore deposits that have been discovered. And that project is in millions in terms of volumes of iron ore that can be exported. We create iron ore. But we, at this moment, when we look at that picture, that is not sustainable at all.
Talk about sustainability on, you know, road haulage. The Trans-Kalahari project, you know, which is aimed at connecting Botswana and Namibia via rail, as you mentioned, that currently the rail infrastructure conditions are not so favorable. It has once again gained momentum, right? So far as we know, expressions of interest from about 12 contractors were announced late last year. You know, can you give us a brief update on that and, you know, what the next steps are?
I think let's give credit of the Trans-Kalahari project to the leadership politically of the two brothers, Namibia and Botswana. President Masisi in Botswana was also the late President Naga Bengo. They have been the one giving impetus to this. Because they say that the countries should be interconnected. That carries with that is such a tall order, but it's an executive order. So we have to fast track. It's at a phase now where basically the expression of interest was issued late last year, and they are busy now. The project office is busy now with negotiating with those that have been shortlisted to go next stage. I don't know. I don't want to pre-end the process at this moment, but it's positive. In the sense that we are looking for the key players to come in and lay the rail structure that Namibia to on the Botswana, all the way up to Mamabuna area, where they have coal deposits. Just be taken that the rail infrastructure connection between Namibia and Botswana is not merely for coal transportation, but it should be for the various minerals, for the various imports, even agricultural production, our imports or exports. So we're looking at the diversity of, and even the movement of people. So this is basically what we're looking at. But it looks positive. We expect the construction of this, maybe the groundbreaking to be done, hopefully within the next 2 years.
This agreement between the two countries, was signed in 2014, you know, and it has since been met with various obstacles. It's been a long time coming, you know. What were some of those obstacles, and what do you think will make it successful this time around? I know you mentioned that there's great synergies between the two governments. You know, the presidents were interacting quite well. But just to zoom in a little bit on that one, to say this time around, 2024, expressions of interest are being given. You know, negotiations are being held with contractors. What is going to make it successful this time around?
Well, I don't mind normally dwelling in the past. But all I can say is that we have better momentum right now. The leadership is there. The support is there. And the private sector is also will play a significant role in this regard. I think in the past, we have also been thinking that the governments of Namibia and Botswana must be the one to fork out the money or expand this project. But they have got other competing priorities in terms of their social responsibilities or housing, education, healthcare, public safety, and some other infrastructure. So I think that the route that we have taken now, all of a business route, where we are most, whoever wants to, is going to invest in the railways, they will have a peace of mind in terms of their return on investment.
That's good. That's really, really good. Lastly, on the Trans-Kalahari, you know, what could this mean for Botswana? I mean, we cover coal markets and we want to understand, you know, there's a big frustration in Botswana in not being able to take out as much coal as they want to. What could this mean for Botswana's coal industry? And in terms of cost, you know, where do we see these rail costs, you know, when compared to road hauling?
Normally, rail shouldn't be more expensive than road, but that is but by design and operations. But because there is no rail connectivity, then road has been the dominant factor for the export of coal. And road cost is extremely high. Road haulage is it's very high, and it sometimes it also eats within the profits of the wholesale agreement of the coal. But all on the other part, coal is also a project of a commodity where we are also getting resistance from some of the countries where they feel like it's a fossil fuel that creates pollution. That's a different chapter in politics. I will not want to delve into that.
Sure.
But yes, coal demand is there in the markets, and we are there to facilitate. Hopefully at a much more cost-effective way than what
Mahupu, thank you so much for joining us, and really all the best on your future work at the WBCG.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Mbahupo Hipi Chivikwa, the CEO of the Walvis Bay Corridor Group, anticipating more volumes for the corridor this year, but also focusing on efficiency and, of course, outlining the construction timeline for the Trans-Kalahari project, which could massively unlock Botswana's coal export potential. Thank you for joining us on this installment of the African Mining Wrap. For more details, do follow our LinkedIn page, McCloskey by Opus at Dow Jones Company. See you again in the next one.